Their inflow of product development work within Nabisco simply could not occur without digital information flow. Coke wanted to make a fundamental cultural and business shift from a company that had a global vision but was locally run to one that has a global vision and is globally run. The use of email and other collaborative digital tools integrates people into the organization faster and has made all of the company's knowledge workers aware that they have a global audience. Globally run does not mean that a manager in Atlanta makes all the decisions for the manager in Nairobi, Kenya. It means that the manager in Nairobi has the same access to information as the manager at headquarters, and that the same analytical and communication tools make him part of one worldwide integrated unit. Feudal mindsets are giving way to a consciousness of global context. The brand management process really took off when the digital tools came out of the executive suite and into the hands of the worldwide marketing teams. Technology has empowered local business teams at Coke, but not in ways that create incompatibilities and inconsistencies within the company. And digital information has enabled Coke to shift from quarterly planning and reporting to continuous planning. Knowledge management is a fancy term for a simple idea. You're managing data, documents, and people's efforts. Your aim should be to enhance the way people work together, share ideas, sometimes wrangle, and build on one another's ideas, and then act in concert for a common purpose. The CEO's role in raising a company's corporate IQ is to establish an atmosphere that promotes knowledge sharing and collaboration, to prioritize the areas in which knowledge sharing is most valuable, to provide the digital tools that make knowledge sharing possible, and to reward people for contributing to a full flow of information.
I think the message about how businesses will change is definitely a global message. It's a global message because the opportunity is there for everyone. Also because businesses will be competing with companies in other countries much more than they ever have in the past. Businesses in the United States have definitely taken the lead in adopting these digital approaches. And I think there are many reasons for that. The popularity of the personal computer and the internet there, the fact that college students coming into these businesses have all been using the internet as students to sign up for classes or communicate with their friends. I'm often asked, does the U.S. have a permanent lead in this? And the answer is absolutely not. The technologies are available on a global basis.
Big wins require big risks. To be a market leader, you have to have what business writer and consultant Jim Collins calls big, hairy, audacious goals. You can't look at just the past or current state of the market. You have to also look at where it's likely to go and where it might go under certain circumstances, and then navigate your company based on your best predictions. To win big, sometimes you have to take big risks. Big bets mean big failures as well as successes. I recounted some of Microsoft's failures earlier and how the lessons learned helped us change our products and strategy. Today, with the benefit of hindsight, it's easy to believe that Microsoft's current success was preordained. Yet, at the time we made our big bets, including the founding of the company as the first microcomputer software firm, most people scoffed. Many industry leaders hesitated to move to new technologies for fear of undercutting the success of their existing technologies. They learned a hard lesson. If you decline to take risks early, you'll decline in the market later. If you bet big, though, only a few of these risks have to succeed to provide for your future. Microsoft's current audacious goals include making the PC scale and performance beyond all existing systems, developing computers that see, listen, and learn, and creating software to power the new personal companion devices. These initiatives are Microsoft's response to digital convergence, in which all devices will use digital technology and need to work with one another. Whether these initiatives succeed, one fact is clear. we have to take these risks in order to have a long-term future. Risk-taking is natural in an emerging industry. The computer industry is about as far into its development as cars were in the 1910s and planes were in the 1930s. Those industries underwent radical and often chaotic technical and business change before they matured. And the same phenomenon is happening in the computer industry. The phrase mature industry implies less risk-taking. But in well-developed industries where vendors approach parity in most areas, taking a risk that information technology can change the rules is the best way to create product and market breakthroughs. A primary competitive differentiator will be the way companies employ the web work style. One of the largest manufacturing concerns in the world, Boeing, has a corporate tradition of betting the company on breakthrough aviation products every couple of decades. In the 1930s, Boeing gambled on a new bomber that became the B-17 of World War II fame. In the 1950s, Boeing gambled to build the first all-jet commercial passenger plane in the United States, the 707. And in 1968, Boeing built the first jumbo jet, the 747, without enough customer orders to guarantee it could break even. If any of these projects had failed, Boeing probably would have gone out of business. By the 1990s, Boeing's Bet the Business challenge was its next-generation passenger plane, the 777. Boeing's first aircraft to be designed entirely by digital means, the 777 was also the first Boeing plane to totally use fly-by-wire technology, in which computers drive the control systems, eliminating the heavy cables used by mechanical systems. And it was the first Boeing plane built with major international suppliers, necessitating digital collaboration. So much digital collaboration that Boeing needed a new fiber optic cable across the Pacific to Japan to handle the electronic traffic. This large-scale knowledge problem required enough pioneering to make it a major risk with an equally great potential for reward. Key project objectives were to reduce error, rework, and change by 50%. The 777 team succeeded. The digital mock-up identified more than 10,000 points of interference, where parts did not fit together properly, so that designers could fix the problems before production began. Without a digital design, these interferences would not have been found until the plane was being manufactured. Toward the end of the 747 project, Boeing was spending $5 million a day on engineering, mostly in changes. The company did not experience those costs with the 777. When the 777 was built, laser alignment tools found that one wing was perfectly aligned, another was out of alignment by only 2/1000ths of an inch, and over the 209-foot length of the aircraft, the fuselage was off by only 3/8000ths of an inch. This virtual perfection of alignment translates into increased aerodynamic performance, better fuel efficiency, and less rework during the assembly process. Digital information flow changed the way Boeing collaborated with Japanese suppliers who built fuselage sections and other components. Without digital tools, Boeing would have had to create all the designs in Seattle and send hard copy to Japan. Boeing would not have learned of problems until the parts were built and delivered. Instead, Boeing did the conceptual design and sent these drawings electronically to Japan, where local engineers could then do the detailed design. The Japanese designers could quickly check with their manufacturing people about the difficulty of building the part and bring any problems to Boeing's notice early. Electronic collaboration redefined the roles of partners and streamlined the process for everyone involved. But though the use of digital processes in the design of the 777 worked well, the design phase represents only 20% of the actual work that goes into the production of a complex modern aircraft. Boeing's use of digital information was only just beginning. Boeing's next step was to tackle the remaining 80%, the production processes that went back to the days of the B-17. This production system comprised at least 1,000 custom-made, intertwined computer systems, some from as early as 1959, built in every computer language ever known, according to company officials. The system's inefficiencies allowed the wrong parts to be manufactured or the right parts not to be manufactured.